Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Dr. Daniel Israel, GP at Dr. Daniel Israel and Associates, Bluebird Medical Center here in Burnham in Johannesburg. Daniel, great to have you with me again. Today you're going to talk about the speech made by the Israeli Prime Minister at the UN.
Great to be with you, Simon. So it's been a few days already since that speech, but I thought that would be a good trigger for us to even discuss a little wider and just to look at Israel's response to COVID or management of COVID from the government. And that was certainly introduced by Naftali Bennett at the UN, which was interesting and refreshing because we've seen Netanyahu has previously discussed always Iran as the primary focus. And that was touched on this year, but COVID was brought up as well. And I was just thinking that there's so many valuable lessons that we can probably look at and learn from the Israeli government in terms of COVID management and particularly touched on by Netanyahu. I mean, by Bennett. The one is that Bennett made the very important point, and I think this was something for all doctors to listen to, is that he said that even though governments need to listen to their health professionals about management of COVID, that ultimately the responsibility of public policy falls under government. And the important thing there was that it's so interesting to see how the Israeli government has now adopted a new approach compared to 2 months ago, where its approach is not only to focus on reducing risk to an absolute minimum, but also to focus on keeping economy open. And he made the very important point that his government would go forward focusing on keeping the economy open and as much, you know, trade as possible and even travel as possible, which is now happening more and more. The second thing that Israel's done that has been revolutionary in the world is this idea of the booster vaccines, third doses for people who have had Pfizer, for example. And interestingly, from this week, 2 million Israelis are no longer going to be considered green pass vaccinated because they haven't had boosters. And even though we don't know whether or not this is absolutely necessary, it's interesting to see that the government in Israel is prepared to go that far, because another thing we've seen is that with people who have had boosters, it's an absolute fractional amount of people who have serious COVID cases in hospital who have actually had the booster vaccine. So, you know, it seems that the data is very supportive of what Israel is doing. Those are some of the things. I suppose one last thing we could learn from Israel in terms of great revolutionary approaches to COVID is the idea of really pushing the testing. We're certainly in a place in South Africa at the moment where the cases are low, and I see amongst my colleagues we're doing less testing than we were before. But Israel is really set on the fact that they continue to encourage students, kids, and people who work to test with if there's any symptoms that could be COVID, and that really helps to identify cases and lock them down.
Daniel, it's amazing to me, you as a medical practitioner took the side of Bennett to the extent that it appears you have, because the Israeli press slayed him, as did most of the medical fraternity in Israel. They felt his comments were inappropriate. They felt they were demeaning of the medical profession. Interesting you landed on the other side of the fence.
So I think it's important to understand that, I mean, it doesn't mean that all government legislation is always right from the medical side. And perhaps, I mean, he said things that were quite almost challenging to the health professionals in Israel. But at the same time, I think what really needs to be understood here is that if we only go by clinicians, and even in our own community, we only develop policy based on what doctors have to say, often doctors don't take into account enough of the socioeconomic effects of COVID and the social effects amongst children, etc. So what I am saying is that absolutely you need doctors and specialists involved in every decision that gets taken with COVID. But at the end of the day, public policy cannot be formed by, you know, physicians, doctors, and specialists, intensivists. It needs to be formed by the government, because a balanced government would understand and does understand that socioeconomic considerations are as important as being completely risk-averse.
100%. That's important. And they're accountable, so it makes perfect sense. Daniel, absolutely, as always, thank you. You and I will wrap the week up together tomorrow.
Have a good day.